Hey folks, this is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Wednesday night Bible study online. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
Take your Bibles. Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20. I have read this chapter before. And it was one of those things, one of those chapters in the Bible that it's just, it looks like a weird story is what it is. And I was reading it again, and you know, this Bible is right and it's real and it's perfect and everything else. But it is a spiritual book. And unless the Holy Ghost breathes as you read this book, I mean, you just, there's some things you just won't understand. Unless God says, let there be light, there will be no light in your life. And you'll read a story that to you just looks like, man, that family's weird, okay? But there's a very, very deep, deep truth inside of this. And I want to kind of read it kind of quickly because there's several places I want to go to in the scriptures tonight. Genesis chapter 20, verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. Now, we're going to find out that Abraham did not, in fact, lie. Okay? We're going to find that out. But why was he saying that? Well, Abraham might have had one reason for saying that, but God had another one, and he's going to show us some things. I mean, if you want to learn something tonight, say amen. And as I'm teaching this, I want you to think about women in the Bible, specifically the one that we're talking about on Sunday morning. We were talking about Abigail, okay? She's a woman, but she's a representation of our soul. Remember, Nabal is the flesh, and David represents the Spirit of God, or Jesus Christ. And Abigail is a picture of our soul. Needs to be free. How many of you believe that? Say amen. Our soul needs to be free. It needs to be free from bondage that's in this flesh. All right. So anyway, I want you to think about that. Let's see here. So he said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto them, she is my sister, and she, even she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. So the story is so far, Abimelech saw her, regarded her as property, took her, and he was intending for Sarah to be his wife. That was what his intentions were. But he had not yet fulfilled his intention. And God came to him in a dream. And he said, Abimelech, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to wipe out your whole country. And Abimelech is pleading his case before God. How many of you ever been there, done that? Say amen. Plead your case before God. Let's see here. Back in verse 6, and God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thine heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. How many of you believe God knows how to hold you back? Say amen. God can pull the reins on you anytime he wants. Your flesh is not more powerful than God. Amen. Your flesh is not more powerful than God. God knows how to hold you back. So he said, I have withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, why hast thou done unto us? And what have we offended thee that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. So he said, I was afraid they were going to kill me and take my wife. Okay. And yet indeed she is my sister. So he says that. Okay? So this is now, I want you to think of Abraham and what the Bible says about Abraham. The Bible says that Abraham is the father of all those who are of faith. We are of the faith of Abraham. God here calls Abraham a prophet. And in Abraham's life and the way that he lived, he is prophesying of the Lord Jesus Christ, especially when we get into Genesis 22, we're going to see a picture of Calvary there. So anyway, I want you to think about Abraham and how Abraham, we are joined with or of Abraham because we have the faith of Abraham. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay? We recognize that we're not saved by works. We are saved by grace. We are saved by what we believe. Because we're saved by grace through faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we're saved by what we believe. And if you don't believe, you're not saved. Amen? Listen, born again, Bible believing, Holy Ghost filled, heaven loving, sin hating Christians ought never say, well, I don't know that God said this, or I don't believe God here. Amen. We ought not say that. Okay? I'm like everybody else here. And this is why y'all are here. Because we're all together. We all fellowship together. We've all had bum days. Amen? Where we wanted to give up and quit. Where we felt like that everything was against us. Where we felt like the weight of the world and our own sins was on us. There was a lady wrote in, and she had never been to this church a day in her life, but she feels like she knows you people because she sits and watches the backs of your heads while I'm preaching Sunday morning. Okay? Sterling especially because of the angle. Okay? But she says, you know, I feel like I know your church. I feel like those are just normal people. And I disagreed with her. No, we're just normal people. Got messed up past. Amen. Got stuff in our life we don't like and all this junk. Okay? But we're just normal people. But, and I don't, where was I going with that? That was such a good thought, and I lost track. Anyway, of the faith of Abraham. And I don't remember what it was now. In your worst of days, you force yourself to a place where you say, I believe God. My emotions are tearing me apart. The guilt of my sin is eating me up. I'm sick of this world. I'm sick of this flesh. I hate it all. And I feel like giving up. But I believe this book. That person's saved. Amen? And I'll just throw this in here because I like it. You'll never, ever, 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 only by the grace of God, you will never, ever hear me say publicly, privately, or whatever, I think there's a mistake in here. I think they didn't translate this. You'll never hear me say that ever. Amen? Because I just believe what I read, and you should too. Because the truth, I want to tell you how this works. Let's say Bonnie, I'll pick on you because I love you. I'm not really picking on you. Let's say Bonnie, I mean, she is just down. I mean, just the weight of the world is on her shoulders, and her shoulder hurts. Amen? Okay? And it's just killing her, and she is desperately needing help from the Lord. And she's reading the Bible. I guarantee you, Bonnie says, I wonder what the Hebrew says here. Does that ever happen? I wonder what's in the original Greek here. We don't do that. If you cannot handle the word of life, then it's not much of a word of life. Amen? So even if I was to buy you all a Greek New Testament, you wouldn't be able to read the stinking letters anyway. And I've got so rusty with it. There's most of them I recognize. Some of them I'm going, man, what is that? What if I forgot? And I'm just telling you that when you're down and out, and I'll tell you, you ain't got nothing left. You open this old book up here, and I guarantee you what's racing through your mind is, I wonder if that is a textual variant. It's not. you look in here and say, this is the word of life. This is what God said. And in spite of what I'm feeling and what my flesh is telling me, I believe what's in this book. I've been there and done that. I've been there and done that. I remember a situation. I won't talk about it right now, but Lisa was with me. We were sitting in the van. And I was out of it. We had this little Bible sitting there, and I picked it up. And I said, "This, Lisa, you tell me that this book is right." Because I was really, really struggling. And she said, "Mike, you know that book is right." She was right. I knew it was. And so we are of Abraham. So anyway, I just want to kind of throw that at you because that was good. Amen. Nothing I say after this may not be any good, but this will be good. Now, I want you to get this idea because Abraham has a sister. Abraham has a sister. And you know me, I think of words mean something in the Bible. Okay? If it's a story in the Bible, then it means something to us. This is not just a historical record that we go, he was married to his sister? Okay? This is the truth of the Word of God. But I was focused on this whole thing about Abraham had a sister. And what does a sister represent in the Bible? I want you to take your Bible. Turn to Proverbs. By the way, I'm going to give you some really, really deep, deep lesson here. Sisters are always female. Amen? Sisters, yeah? Deep theology. I wonder if the original Hebrew says that. Sisters are always girls. They're always females. The female in the Bible, one of the beautiful, beautiful things. There's something I intended to study out. I was thinking about it on the way to the church this morning, and I forgot all about it. But if I remember right, the two pillars in Solomon's temple, Jachin and Boaz. It seems like to me, if I remember right, that Jachin, or one of them, I think it's Jachin, means strength, and Boaz means beauty. I might be wrong about that, okay? Strength and beauty. And I got to thinking about, you know, the pillars are things that support, they hold things up, okay? And, like the pillars that, you know, hold up a porch or something like that. And I got to thinking of strength and beauty. And I don't know if I'm right on this. I think I remember that. But if I'm right, this is really neat. Because this is a picture of Christ and the church. Christ is the strength. Okay? It's a picture of the Old Testament, New Testament. By the way, there's strength in the law. Amen? When you got good laws on your home or in your country or in your church, when you got good laws in your life, when you got good morals in your life, you're strong in the Lord. You believe that, say amen. Okay? But that's the Old Testament. The New Testament is beauty. It's grace. We usually use the word grace we don't call any boys grace, by the way. Amen. Okay? We call girls grace, or we think of grace, someone who is graceful, being able to do graceful things with their body that I'm not even going to try. Okay? Strength and beauty, Old Testament, New Testament. The husband and the wife. The husband is the strong one. Amen? The wife, you know, the wife has got her strength, but it's the husband who is the protector, the physical. He's the guy that's got to pick up the bookshelves. Amen? And carry the boxes and stuff like that. But the wife is adorned with the love of her husband, and she's beauty. So I just thought I'd throw that in there. Okay? Now, I may be totally wrong on that, but if I remember right, that's what that was. All right, are you there in Proverbs chapter 7? Say amen. Women in the Bible have such a magnificent, magnificent place and standing in the Scriptures. Don't let any of the feminists of this age tell you that the Bible hates women. No, the Quran hates women. But the Bible does not hate women. Somebody say amen. It exalts them, it elevates them, it puts them high up. the beauty of the scriptures you'll always see in the woman in the Bible. Now notice this in Proverbs chapter 7. In fact, let's read from verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. I like those words, keep and lay up. That means keep them. That means when the devil wants to come to you, Brady, and steal the word, what a loser. Keep the word, amen? Don't let me have it. I'd expect it to, come here, Bradley. Yeah, yeah, keep the word, amen? Huh? Oh, yeah. What a landing that was. Okay? He said, keep my words and lay up my commandments. When you lay something up, you know what you're doing? You're storing it for later use. Amen? What are you doing with all them pecans, Roy? Besides that, Roy, you guys work with me a little bit here. People's going to listen to this and they're going to go, man, that church. What are we doing with all the pecans, Roy? You're laying them up. Amen? Store the rascals. You need them later. Okay? So he said, keep my words, lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Now look at verse 4. Say unto wisdom, thou art my what? Sister. And call understanding thy kinswoman. I want you to remember that Abraham had a sister. And it was his near kinswoman, but it was also his wife as well. So he's married to wisdom in the Bible. So he says, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from who? Remember, we always have, there's two women in the book of Proverbs. There is your sister, wisdom, your near kin, and I like that she's not a distant relative to you. She is near to you. Okay? She's wise, and you keep her near to you because you, as God's people, love wisdom rather than foolishness. Remember Abigail. She did not love Naboth. Okay? She was not weeping over him when he died. I don't see it in the Bible. And when David sat and communed with her and said, now will you be my wife? She said, I will. I'll be your wife. She was ready to get out of that deal. Somebody say amen. I'll tell you something. When you're right with God, you're ready to get out of here. Amen. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I'll stay here as long as God wants me to stay here. And I'll do whatever God wants me to do. But I'll tell you what. If he blows the trumpet tonight, I'm out of here. Somebody say amen. Ready to go. So anyway, you keep wisdom near to you because that's what you really need in your life. And I want you to think about, friends. Friends that we pick. Think about it. Because we can either pick friends that we know are good for us and good to us. And they will wound us every now and then, but that wound is faithful because faithful is the wounds of a friend. Amen. Sometimes your friend will come to you and they'll shut the door and they'll sit down and they'll say, I need to tell you something. And they're telling you because they love you. That's good. Amen. Or you can pick friends that you know is going to get you in trouble. Now, I'm talking to young people, old people. I'm talking to Michaela. I'll talk to Caleb. I'll talk to all you guys. We know, hey, I guarantee you, everybody in this room knows a couple people that if you were ready, when you were ready to get into trouble, you could call them tonight and get hooked up. Raise your hand. How many of you know an old drinking buddy you could call right now? Somebody running around, some old party. I mean, you know somebody, okay? And I want to encourage you. Be careful who you're Facebook and friending with. Amen? Be careful about them rascals out there. Not everybody that wants to be your friend is really going to end up being your friend. And listen to your other friends who tell you when they see your Facebook page and they call you and say, did you make friends with so-and-so on Facebook? And you say, well, yeah, what's wrong? Let me tell you. and your real friend will warn you about the strange woman friends. Am I telling you the truth tonight? When you keep wisdom as your sister and as your near kinswoman, she will keep you from the strange woman, the stranger with which flattereth with her words. How many of you girls, how many of you ladies have ever had one of these girlfriends that started out all nice and neat and they said all not kinds of nice things? So, oh, I love that. I love that outfit. Okay. Hopefully us guys, we never had a guy come and say, hey, I love that outfit. Okay. They say things like, man, that's a nice car, you know, sweet ride or something like that. That's some kind of oil slick that Ford puts out. Man, that's awesome, man. Okay. But I've seen it in girls and women. They'll have these gals come up to them and they'll say flattering words to them to try to get in to be their friend. Why? Because they're going to use. They got plans on using you. Raise your hand. Say amen. You know these gals, don't you? Okay. Because she flattereth with her words. And guys, listen to me. Guys, listen to me. The harlots are out there everywhere. This is, I tell you what, I love people. I hate this world. I hate it. The sleaze bags are out there everywhere. And if you don't have wisdom as your near kinswoman, you know what wisdom will do? She'll give you understanding. And she'll give you understanding about that gal that's talking sweet to you. And tell you, you need to get away from her. Can I hear you say amen? Well, I tell you what, it's good. You know, there's a whole thing here, and I want to deal with this. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 6, for at the window of my house I looked through my casement. Solomon was looking at, watching out the window one night, and he said, I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding. You know why? Didn't have a wise sister. Didn't keep his sister near to him. Okay? Because his sister probably knew this gal by reputation. And his sister would have told him, if wisdom would have been his sister would have told him, don't go down that street. Don't go over there. Okay? Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. And I have a feeling this young man knew where she lived. Amen? He knew where she lived. He knew what street he was on. And verse 9, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Boy, I'll tell you what, sin loves darkness. Amen? Sin and wicked deeds, they all love darkness. And I've made this illustration before. And I will tell you what, it is absolutely true. In fact, I have a pastor friend came to me. I was doing a deal down in Arkansas. And I had a pastor, I was teaching on this chapter about the strange woman. And you know, I don't know if you're aware of how they're building these new church sanctuaries. But these new church, these $5-10 million new churches that are going in, all the lights are directed to the stage. The audience is in the dark. It's just like a rock and roll theater or a show or something like that. The audience is nearly, am I telling the truth, Rose? She's nodding her head. She's been there. I don't know why she was there. She was there. Amen. Down in Cape. Okay. And I'm here to, and I was teaching on that, and he come up to me, and he said, Brother Mike, he said, man, I'll tell you what, thank you for doing this. He said, I got a youth pastor in my church that's wanting to set aside a certain building of our church, set up for a youth hall, and that's exactly what he's wanting to do. He's wanting to make the stage a big light show and have all the seats where the kids will be in the dark. And I said, don't you dare let him do it. I'm just telling you. See, some things are real simple. You come into this church, we're going to turn the lights on. Amen? We're going to turn the lights on because darkness hates light. And it's not just physical light, it is spiritual light as well. So anyway, in the evening, in the dark and black night, verse 10, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, and her feet abide not in her house. Contrast that with wisdom. Wisdom has a voice, but it's a very quiet voice. Okay? And stubborn, I'm not going to overuse this thing, but I talked about Jezebel last Sunday morning. Cigarette in one hand, martini glass in the other. Okay? That gal is stubborn. Amen? Let's see here. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face she said unto him, I have peace offerings with me this day, I have paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love into the morning, and let us solace ourselves with loves, for the good man is not at home. You know what she's saying? My husband's gone. Come on in. He bought the bed, he bought the silk, and he brought the perfume to me from Egypt. And now he's gone back again, and she was out on the street. And she was looking for somebody. Verse 21, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the what? Don't fall for it, people. Male or female, boy and girl here tonight, man or woman here tonight. Don't fall for it. You need to have wisdom stick by you as a near kinswoman and as your sister to hang close to you to keep that slut away from you. Somebody say amen. Physically and spiritually. Or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. The Bible says later that her ways are verse 25. Let not that heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she has cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. How many of y'all know how to go to hell tonight? I know that path. And I know the people that I can call that'll go with me. Y'all know that? Okay? So it's a good idea to keep wisdom real close. Amen? Keep wisdom real close. Let me just go through this very quickly in Proverbs chapter 8. Man, I can preach on her all night. Amen. Doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way, in the places of the gates. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the cities, and coming in at the doors. I want you to notice the contrast here. The strange woman is hidden in the dark. Wisdom is out in the gates, out in the daylight, out with everybody. Amen. That is the contrast between the real gospel that we preach and all the false gospels that are out there. They're all hidden. There's some secret agenda that everybody has. Okay? So anyway, verse 4, she said, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom. Ye fools, be of understanding of heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, the right to them, and right to them that find knowledge. It's kind of hard for me to grasp it all, but I see here the words of God being portrayed as wisdom and in the feminine, like a near kinswoman or a sister calling to you, and it's almost like the soul inside of you, is it a pure woman, is it a wise woman, or is it a strange woman? Which is it? Okay? And it's all based upon the Word of God. God is desperately trying to give you wisdom. He's trying to give you understanding. He's trying to teach you things. He's trying to keep you from perverseness and all these things. Verse 9, they are all plain to him that understandeth, right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. I want to tell you something. When you get your heart right with God, money just don't mean a whole lot to you anymore. Man, I know we got to eat and pay bills, and this is the world we live in. But I want to tell you something. When you get right with God, you're not out trying to make $1 million every year. And if you are, it's so you can give $999,000 of it away to missionaries and things like, give it over to the service of the Lord. Somebody say amen. It's not gold that you're seeking after. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. For the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy in the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign. That means that in the realms of life that you are in authority over, wisdom will help you rule over those areas. Okay? The counsel of wisdom, the counsel of the Word of God, the counsel of the Holy Spirit in your life is what will rule you and guide you. And princes decree justice. By me, princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Now, verse 17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. You know what? I want to tell you, good rule of life. When you are at the crossroad, when you are approaching the crossword, the crosswords, when you're approaching the crossroads of a decision, it's better to get wisdom before you get there than when you get there. It's better as you approach that you already have your mind made up how it's going to be. Can I hear you say amen? Because we get in these areas, and every now and then we just start shooting up a flare gun to God. God, help! Help me, God, help me! Okay, because I mean, I need immediate help right here. And wouldn't it, how many times have we gotten into a place in life where we wish we could have gone back about 3 or 4 days or a week or a year and said, you know what, let me think about this for a while. Been there, done that, amen? I'm telling you, to seek it early rather than late. You young people, you kids, okay? The older adults here can tell you that they would have been far better off in life had they sought out the wisdom of God at your age than waiting. Because there's mistakes that have been made that they cannot go back and change. Scars that they have received that will never heal this side of heaven. And all the adults would plead with you and cry for you and pray for you and say, you're better off seeking wisdom now than trying to get it later. Can I hear God's people say amen? You encourage these young people. Okay? You encourage them. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. And I'm not just talking about spiritual wisdom, although spiritual wisdom is the goal of every Christian in life. I'm talking about having some biblical wisdom in you. So that, how many of you believe that God will teach you in this Bible how to run a business? Won't he, Brady? Brady's a manager. And he reads in this book the wisdom that is in this book. And he knows there's things in here that is helping him do what he's got to do. How many of you believe that? Say amen. Or, let's say you're not running the business. Let's say just say that you're the working Joe. Okay? Or the working Roy or working Brad, okay? You go to work and there's situations at work that require wisdom. Did you know that you can get wisdom from this Bible years in advance, and you come up to a situation in life at work and you say, you know what? Believe it or not, the Bible addresses this very situation. I believe that about this book. So it's not just heavenly success, it is earthly success as well. Follow the road of wisdom. I'm not going to go on much, but this is such a beautiful, beautiful chapter. And I'd love to just keep on preaching tonight, but we're just running out of time. Look at verse 30. This is, I want you to notice, then I was by him as one brought up with him. I had this little notion by reading this that Jesus has a sister. Okay, now her name is Jerusalem, which is above, which is free, which is the mother of us all and all that stuff. I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of this earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. It almost sounds like a mother too. Okay? Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Now, I've used this analogy before, and I don't like to embarrass my wife. Well, every now and then. Okay. No, normally I don't like to embarrass my wife and talk about her. But I use this analogy all the time. In a godly marriage, it is not the husband that is piloting the ship. Okay? Now, he is in authority, and I believe in biblical authority. Can I hear you say amen? Okay? Only a foolish husband, even fundamental Christians, a foolish husband would say, "Woman, I make the rules around here." You're a fool. You're an absolute fool. And you're not being a biblical husband. Okay? The husband will listen to his wife. Why did Abigail fall in love with David? He listened to her. Okay? And I am not the sole brains in my marriage. I'm not. Okay? So, God will, at times, give my wife wisdom. Okay? He will give her wisdom, and she will counsel me. Now, sometimes she's out in the gates proclaiming with a loud voice, amen, okay? But she is giving me wisdom. And we've kind of worked out a little system in our marriage about how I'm going to listen to that. Okay? Because one thing I promised her is I promised her I'd listen to her. I try hard to do that. And we're not perfect. We got our flaws, and I mean, all this stuff, and I'm not always happy with her, and she's not always happy with me. And I mean, that's just how it is in life. Say amen. Okay? People are lying to you if they say, "We just don't have any problems in our marriage. Bless God. Praise the Lord. You know, no problems." Okay? Everybody's different, I guess, but this is just what God's given us to work with, and God's blessed us, and this and that and the other. And, she has grown in the Lord as I have grown in the Lord. And God has used her and God has used me for us to be a blessing to one another. And listen, verse 34 again, blessed is a man that heareth me. Blessed is the man who heareth me. Abigail counseled David, and David listened to that, and God blessed him. Esther counseled King Ahasuerus. And her counsel was right, and it was godly. And God not only used that counsel to save Esther, but to save the entire nation of Israel. And it was the woman, because she represented wisdom. Okay? And if we go back and read Genesis 20, we're not. If we go back and read Genesis 20, you'll see how Ben-Hadad, was that his name, Ben-Hadad? No, it wasn't. It was Abimelech. Abimelech was blessed by Sarah. Okay? And he gave her back, but God blessed him as a result of that. So I just kind of wanted to get you to understand this whole idea of how God uses these pictures in our lives to show us things. And I just want to encourage us. Okay? The days are long, and we know that time is running out. And we know the world is getting more wicked and more wicked and more evil and more evil. And all the wickedness of the world is coming at us and going, "Come here. It's the monster." Amen. And keep wisdom close by.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God, and I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, "Well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die." But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believed in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment, to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word. God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.